devil tries to attack us almost every single day, trying to remind us of the sins that we've already committed, the sins that have been washed clean when we were reborn in Christ anew. And he uses these sins to try to drag you down, to make you feel unworthy, to make you feel like you're not worthy of God's love, like you're not worthy to be saved, you're not worthy to be rescued. You know, the devil works his magic on people using the same tactics as I've spoken about in previous sermons long ago. The same tactics over and over again, because they always work. They work on people. They've never failed since the dawn of time to fool people into feeling like they need to hide from God, like they need to run, and that they will never be worthy of entering those gates of heaven, that they will never be worthy of walking that straight and narrow path or crossing that finish line. Why? Because he wants to drag all humans down to hell as much as he can, out of spite. What do snakes do? They spit, they spite, they bite. Right? That's what the serpent does. He spits and spites and bites with his lies, his deceit, his native language, his native forked tongue. You know, he'll speak a little bit of truth and a lot of bit of lie, but just enough to be able to slip it in and make you start to doubt yourself. He tries to make you doubt your worth to God. He tries to make you doubt that you will ever, ever be worthy of that light and grace. But when Christ died on the cross for our sins, he died for everyone. He died for all of that sin. He took it all upon himself because we were not capable of washing ourselves clean of our own sin and remaining that way, remaining sinless and walking a clean path, a perfect path. The only one who was ever able to walk perfectly was Christ. Christ without sin. Right? He walked perfectly from the day he was born, the day he could walk, to the day he died on that cross for our sins. We need to remember the sacrifice that he made for us. We need to remember that sacrifice. And as such, I want to jump into my lesson today, everyone. So, my lesson today is called, "Their Sins and Lawless Acts I Will Remember No More." Alright, I want us to start our reading today in Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 1. Everyone, I want you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 1. That is verse 1, everyone, in Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to go ahead and put these up onto my screen and we will get started, huh? Give me one moment to start my paradox. And 3, 2, 1. Magic. Oh, there's a paradox going on my screen, huh? Okay, everyone. We are in Hebrews chapter 10. Let's see if my screen is working today. It's a little frozen, isn't it? Okay. Give me one moment here to try to refresh my screen on that. Technology doesn't always work perfectly like Christ does. Technology is flawed like humans are. As we try to create things, we are not perfect at it. We do our best. Oh, there we go. We got some animation now. That's wonderful. Let's see what we got. All right, perfect. Hebrews chapter 10, everyone. Christ's sacrifice once for all. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once and for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased." Then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God." First, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." Then he said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary." Now, I want to stop there. So, the sins and lawless acts, he remembers no more. He throws them in the garbage. And once they're in the garbage, he doesn't look back at that garbage. But you know what the devil does? He's what we call a dumpster diver. He jumps into those garbage cans and pulls out the garbage that the Lord has already thrown away to try to remind you of your sins. He digs it up and then he accuses you. He is the accuser. He accuses you of this and that and that and that, even though it's already been thrown in the garbage, to try to drag you down every way he can. He chips at you. He chips at that armor that you wear for the Lord. All of that armor he tries to break and crack with everything he can. And the point of this is that he wants to drag you to hell. He doesn't want you to rise and join the Lord in heaven, everyone. So this is the game that the devil has been playing since the very beginning. Christ sacrificed once and for all of our sins to wash us clean. And that is an order that he put into place for all of us. He made a way for us to go home with him when there was no way anymore. When we were already falling to hell, he gave us a way out, everyone. He gave us a way out. All right, he opened a door that was sealed before, where there was even no door to begin with. He opened a door. He made a door. He is the way, the truth, and the life, everyone. So, let's jump into the rest of my lesson today. I'm going to go ahead and switch this back to my face, huh? So, the Lord made a way for us to get out of the traps that the devil tries to ensnare us in. He made a way out for us so that we could walk that straight and narrow path with confidence, regardless of the challenges that the devil puts in your way. Regardless of all the monsters he puts in your way, regardless of how you are persecuted. Rejoice, everyone. Rejoice in your persecutions for the Lord, because you are being persecuted the way he was. And that means you're on the right path, right? That means that you are following Jesus on that straight and narrow path. Because there's only one way the devil attacks you, and that's when you are not following the devil. Right? The devil, everyone, he is truly a master manipulator, all right? He always seeks to bring doubt and fear into the hearts of every single Christian believer. All right, he tries to remind us, everyone, of all of those sins that we committed because we are not perfect, to make us feel guilty. He wants us to feel unworthy, like I said, of God's love, everyone. We must remember that the Lord that we follow, the God we serve, is greater than the devil. And his power is more potent than every sin. And the devil knows this. He very well knows Jesus' power. He truly does. But he wants you to believe that he is powerful, that the devil is powerful. All right? He wants you to feel weak. But when you are in Christ, you are strong, everyone. All right? The power of the Lord falls upon you. The shielding, his protection. The blood of the Lamb washes your sins clean, everyone. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work, everyone. Amen." We are not bound by the chains of sin and guilt. We are free in Christ, everyone. We are free in Christ. The enemy will use every single trick in the book to make us feel like we're not good enough, like we've fallen too far to be redeemed, like we are unsavable. But God's word, everyone, tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, everyone, this is the promise that we hold on to. We don't hold on to the lies of the devil, do we? We don't believe the devil. We cannot believe the devil. You cannot serve two masters, everyone. You cannot serve two masters. We must be aware, everyone, of the enemy's tactics, and we must resist his attempts to bring us down. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Resist the devil, everyone, and the devil will flee. All right? How do you do that? Remember, I did a sermon on this entire topic, this particular piece here. All right? How do you resist the devil? You know the Word of God. All right? Study and feed on the Word of God, and when the devil comes, you have Scripture prepared. All right? And then you pray. You pray to the Lord for his protection. You pray for the Lord for his relief. All right? We have the power, everyone, to overcome the devil's schemes and to live in the freedom of God's love and his grace. All right? When we accept, everyone, Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are washed clean of all of our sins. The Lord remembers them no more. And we are given a new life in him, aren't we, as a body of Christ. Psalm chapter 103, verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." All right? This is the magnitude, everyone, of God's forgiveness. It's infinite and it's complete. All right? There's not one part of it that has a hole in it. Not one crack in that foundation. All right? The devil may try to remind us of past mistakes, everyone, but we must not dwell on them. Instead, we should focus on the forgiveness and love of God that he teaches us. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 tells us, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." All right? We are not condemned, everyone. We are redeemed. We are saved. We are washed clean. Amen. God's forgiveness is not just a one-time event either. It doesn't just happen once. It's ongoing all throughout your life, everyone. All throughout your life. As we walk with him, We are always continually washed clean of our sins as we pray for forgiveness, as we pray for repentance, because we are not perfect. All right? When you do sin, when you do fall, pray. Ask Him for forgiveness and commit those sins no more. Move forward. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 says, "And that is what some of you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." All right? Understand the power of what that means. You were sanctified, everyone. You are justified. Your sins are thrown in the garbage, all right? He has exonerated you of your sins, which means that the devil trying to remind you of your sins is meaningless. It's meaningless, everyone. It's garbage. It's in the garbage. He shredded that sin. He turned it into dust. All right? Doesn't matter what the devil says to you. Doesn't matter those evil thoughts he plants into your head. All right? They were thrown in the garbage. You do not dwell on those sins because they're gone. If he's not dwelling on them, neither should you. Understand what I mean by this. All right? The Lord has mercy on us, everyone. It's a beautiful thing, is it not? It's not just about forgiveness either. All right? It's about his loving kindness towards us. All right? He's gentle. He's just. He doesn't just wipe away all of our sins either, everyone. He also removes the guilt and the shame that's associated with them. In Micah chapter 7, verse 19, it says, "You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea." All right? He throws them into the garbage, into the deepest place, the abyss, and they're gone. They go into the void, all right? And they're never to be seen again unless you allow the devil to try to trick you into remembering all of that. And you shouldn't have to. All right? You guys are innocent. All right? If you have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, you are innocent. Remember this. And when the devil is trying to plant those evil thoughts in your head, remember your innocence, that you have been justified already, everyone. All right? When the devil tries to remind us of our past, everyone, we can remind him of God's mercy and his power. All right? Remind him of the scriptures. Remember when Jesus was tempted 3 times in the desert, everyone? What did he do? When the devil tried to use scripture out of context, what did Jesus do? He fought back with proper scripture, didn't he? And what did the devil do? He fled. He told the devil to stand behind him. And he did. He fled. He was gone, everyone. So we could say, "The Lord has taken away my sins and I am free in Christ." All right? You can say that you shall serve the Lord your God, and only God shall you serve, everyone. You tell him who's boss. Right? We don't have to be bound by any of that guilt and shame. We can walk in the freedom of God's love, everyone. We don't have to submit to the devil. The Lord's mercy is not limited to our past sins either. It's also for our present and future mistakes, everyone. Psalm chapter 86, verse 15, it says, "But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." We can rely on his mercy every single day of our lives, everyone, in every single situation that ever comes up, past, present, or future. Doesn't matter. Rely on him. Lean on him. Lean on his understanding and love, everyone. All right, so when we accept Christ, we become a new creation. I've spoken about this. The old us is gone, everyone, and a new person emerges, is born. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." What great news is that? This new creation, everyone, is not bound by our past sins. It's free to live a life of righteousness, and He gives us all of that freedom. All right, He gives us all the room in the universe to live a life of righteousness. The devil may try to remind us of who we used to be, everyone, but we are no longer that person. That person is dead, it's buried, it's gone. We are a new creation, with a new heart, with a new spirit, with the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel chapter 36, 26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Amen to that, everyone. As a new creation, we are called to live a life that honors God, everyone. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We live by faith, everyone, not by our past mistakes, not by all of those reminders from the devil, not by his accusations. We don't define ourselves by our past sins. We learned from them. We grew from them. We became that new creature, a new creation. All right? So the old us is truly dead. It's gone. It's thrown into the abyss. That did go to hell. The only thing that won't go to hell is your soul, everyone. You will live eternally. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, everyone. Everlasting life. You have everlasting life waiting for you at the end of that finish line, everyone. All right? That was John 3:16. The blood of Christ is powerful, everyone. It cleanses us from all sin. It makes us worthy to stand before God on that judgment day. You have a lawyer that will defend you, that says to his father, I washed that one clean. That one is mine. That one belongs to me. He is not going to hell. She is not going to hell. Those are mine. Right? You become part of the body of Christ, and his father will not condemn you on that judgment day. The blood of Christ is so powerful, everyone, cleansing us from all sin and makes us so worthy. So worthy that he looks at us no different than his son. His own son, everyone. That is the point of his blood. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So that purification is not just a one-time event either, everyone. It's always going on in your life, in your walk with God, on that straight and narrow path, in your journey to that finish line. You're always given a choice and a chance to continue to walk as long as you keep your eyes on God. Don't follow the devil. Don't listen to his lies. Don't listen to that slithering tongue. All right? Listen to the words of God, for if you don't hear God's voice, you're not of God. All right? When the devil tries to accuse us of sin, everyone, we can point to the blood of Christ. We can say, the blood of Jesus has cleansed me, and I am worthy to stand before God. As Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 tells us that Jesus has freed us from our sins by his blood, everyone. We are free from the power of sin, and we can live a life of victory. All right? We share Jesus' victory. He was victorious for all of us and us through him. All right? The blood of Christ also gives us confidence to approach God's throne so that we don't feel like we have to hide like Adam and Eve behind the tree. All right, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, as we read, it says, Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, right? We don't have to be afraid, everyone, of God's judgment we can boldly approach him because of the blood of Christ, because he looks at us no different than his son. With the blood on us, he sees his son in us, right? When we understand the power of God's forgiveness and the blood of Christ, everyone, we can live in freedom. We don't have to be bound by guilt and shame. All right, we can walk in the light of God's love. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." All right? Living a life of any form of righteousness requires self-control over the flesh, everyone. All right? The whole point of being saved and becoming a new creation is that you overcome all of the temptations of the flesh. All right? Again, we're not perfect. All right, none of us are perfect at it, but we do our best. And every time we trip and fall, Jesus is right there to lift us back up onto our feet, right? Right. We have the power to overcome all of the enemy's lies, everyone. We have the power to overcome all of the enemy's lies. Living in freedom means that we don't have to dwell on any of our past mistakes, all right? We can focus on the present and the future, knowing that God has a plan for us. He knew us before we were born. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, I love this scripture. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Now, how would he know all of those plans already before you were even born if he didn't truly know you? He knows every one of us so interpersonally, more, even more than we know ourselves. All right, we can trust in God's goodness, everyone, because of this. We know that he knows our path. He sees the entire map. He sees the whole forest. Where we can only see the trees around us, he sees the whole path because he sees it from above. Right? Ask him when you get lost in that forest, "Which way should I take, Lord?" And he will give you the right direction. As we live in freedom, we can also help others who are struggling with guilt and shame, all right? We need to try to guide his sheep back to that straight and narrow path with us. We should not be selfish and walk it just by ourselves, everyone. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4, it says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." That makes my point. We can be a source of comfort and hope to others, everyone. And many others are seeking, even though they don't say it. All right? You don't even know just how many people you will stumble across in your walk that actually truly need the word and won't admit it. Because they're afraid, everyone. They're afraid to admit that they are sinners. They know they are sinners. They feel guilty and full of shame. All right? We need to show those people. We need to show those people the power and the love of God through us and our actions. And we need to guide them with us gently to that straight and narrow path without judgment upon them. We're not here to judge them, their sins. That's not our job. All right, our job is to teach them how to overcome those sins and to accept Jesus Christ into their lives and be washed clean of their sins so that they're thrown in the garbage and they can too walk on that straight and narrow path and help others. All right, they're here as well to pay it forward just as we are. Right? We're about around that time, so I'm going to start closing, everyone. So I want us to remember the power of God's forgiveness, all right, and the blood of Christ. I want us to live in the freedom that we have in Christ, everyone. And let's not be bound by those lies of the devil, all right, the snake, the serpent, who spits and spites and bites with a forked tongue and speaks in his native language of lies, accusing and pointing at others, all right? Let us not be afraid of the devil, everyone. The devil has no power over you. Not unless you allow him. He has no power over you. The only power over you should be the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 through 39 says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We are more than conquerors, everyone. All right, we are victorious through Christ who loved us. All right, we can overcome any obstacle that is thrown in our way, any stumbling stone that the devil puts in your path. All right? And we can live a life of victory. Let's hold on to this truth, everyone, and live it out every single day. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "I can do all this through him who gives me strength." In our weakness, everyone, he delights to give us strength if we admit our weakness to him. All right? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. All right? Let's close today, everyone, with a sense of hope and confidence in God's power. We are not bound by our past. We are free in Christ, everyone. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." We are the righteousness of God in Christ. We are his children, everyone. We are part of the body of Christ. And Christ died for every single one of us on that cross, everyone. He died for every single one of us and gave us a way out. We were already falling to hell, and he gave us a way out. That's how much he loves us, everyone. I want us to go ahead and bow our heads and pray. It's that time, everyone. Dear Lord, our Lord and Savior in heaven, Heavenly Father, we come before you with gratitude and praise. We thank you for the power of your forgiveness and the blood of Christ. You have washed us clean, and we are free in you. We pray for the strength to live out this freedom every single day. Help us to resist the lies and the deceit of the devil and all of his tactics, and to walk in the light of your love. Give us the courage to approach your throne with confidence, knowing that we are worthy because of the blood of Christ, your Son. Thank you for your mercy and your love toward us. We are grateful for the new creation that we are in Christ. And we look forward to living a life that honors you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and hallelujah, everyone. Thank you so much for your time today. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for joining us.